Hello, my name is Zephyr, and I'm recording with Frank Prattle, and this is Neighborhood Public Radio, 88.9 FM. I have a very special guest today, David Weinstein of WPS1, and we're live here in Art Basel, Miami. Hi, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. It's great to be here.
I'm welcome to the beach.
Neighborhood Public Radio is a big fan of WPS1.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what WPS1's doing down here.
Well, about 3 years ago, the directors of the PS1 Museum, which is officially the PS1 Contemporary Art Center, in an old schoolhouse for the last 30 years in Queens, came to an agreement with the Art Basel Miami Beach directors to do something, to collaborate in some way. And at that point, the radio station, WPS1, was just being born, and so they thought, let's give it a shot and try and move our crew down to Miami, which they did. So now this is our third year. So we became the official art radio station of Art Basel,
right,
as opposed to just a radio station. We're the art radio station.
And you became official, too.
And we became official, which gave us some street cred inside the fair, which is actually called a show. And so now we've done it 3 years. We've tried different locations for this remote thing. Some of them have been more exclusive, like hidden away inside the Delano poolside, which was very elegant, but also a little off the walking path of your average tourist or Miami resident or even my Basel art lover. It's a very
Basilite.
Exclusive, yeah, the Baselite. It's a very exclusive hotel and, you know, pricey and hoity-toity. So the second year we were out on the boardwalk right out here where we are now at 21st and Collins, where they have their sort of satellite gallery, mini gallery installation, and cafe and bar and performances outside. And that was great. We were right on the walking path of the public, of everybody, of all the tourists from the hotels who had no idea what art is anyway. We're still walking by, and they would peek in and watch our broadcasts. We were just sitting literally at the edge of the sand.
Right.
This year, that was a little troublesome in some ways. We weren't really inside the walls of the official Art Basel cafe area, right, and that confused some people. So this year they put us in this sort of duplex, what is it? It's a shipping container, the kind you see on big cruise, not cruise ships, haha.
Well,
a tankers, right? And they cut out the sides. We have a big second story window, and our job is simply to grab interviews with whomever we like. They don't control our content or ask for anything from us other than we just do our, you know, art content coverage, which we do with our own staff from PS1 and from the radio crew and from friends and family and curators and experts that we know around here. We have them grab people.
Okay. What, as far as programming goes, what has been the balance for this particular Art Basel? Have you tried to work mostly with the Miami community or mostly with kind of art goers or a little bit all?
We try to pull it all in. In advance of coming here, I organize as much sort of solid stuff as I can.
You know?
So I can get in advance at least a tentative agreement with Sam Keller, who's the director of the Art Basel Miami Beach, to show up one day and tell us his story.
Did he?
He's due on Sunday.
All right.
We'll see. He's more than glad to do it. If he's busy,
all right,
he maybe can't. Which is the other side of our equation, which is sometimes people just don't show up. They're busy, or they got sick of this and they went home, or they forgot, or whatever. Some people stay out very late, and they can't be sure to remember what their plan was or what their appointment was. So we pull people in. You know, you're right there in the middle of this fair, thousands and thousands of people who are either selling, buying, collecting, making, destroying, criticizing art.
Right.
So we just run out on the beach and find somebody and have them fill the space. But it is, you know, sort of a plan to not just cover Art Basel Miami Beach, but also pull in some people from we call them the satellite fairs. Some people call them the alternative fairs, which is this cluster of smaller renegade organizations like Frisbee and Scope and, you know,
Opera Bridge, all this.
Right, there's so many of them that are all in maybe hotels nearby or some of the most around Miami proper in interesting spaces, or you know, even private residences. So we try to get them involved as much as possible as we find them. And then this year I also made an arrangement with the people from the School of Visual Arts, which is a, you know, I wouldn't say ancient institution, but a long-standing arts education institution in Manhattan, to help me pull people in. They have, you know, alumni and faculty, pretty distinguished group of people, and so they are helping also just find the characters out there and get them in. So I've handed over some programming to them, some program to our regular hosts that do shows on WPS1 on various themes: art and technology, art and politics, collecting, this kind of thing.
As far as people listening, real quick, for those listening on the internet, what is your guys' website again?
It's WPS1.org.
Okay. And you guys have 24-hour broadcasting.
Right. It's a 24-hour stream. It's a program. The program schedule flips over every week, so we run the same program for 7 days, although we have an algorithm that scrambles the programming, so if you listen at 2 o'clock every day, you don't hear the same thing.
Right. The tricky ways of math.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like what we went back and forth on this. But it is, you know, the internet radio isn't the kind of thing where, oh yeah, it's 11 a.m., it's time for the kids' show.
Right.
And because it you're on an international time frame, so somebody's listening in Tokyo and somebody's listening in Beirut, I hope. Well, actually, we...
Do you got Beirutis?
Lebanon shows up on our geostats, so that's
beautiful.
Kind of cool. I mean, there's about 80 countries that I've counted that come and go at times. That's a whole other story. That's an astoundingly wonderful thing to watch, is when you have internet site, you can look at who's, you can look back at who's looking at you,
right?
And where these things, how the word gets to some of these places, it's a wonder, and very satisfying. But so yeah, it's a 24-hour stream, radio show type stream of a mix of talk and music,
right?
And then we everything we've ever broadcast on the stream, we also save in our archive. So all something like 2,500 hours of programming that we've made in the last 2.5 years is in our, you know, archived by category or alphabetical in our on-demand library.
And you can go back and individually listen.
Anybody can go back and pick a show. And it's nice, you can fast forward and jump back and hate it and turn it off or go to something else.
Right. And so as far as yourself, do you do some of the interviewing, or are you a DJ as well? What exactly is your role with WPS1?
Everybody on our staff does everything, basically. Okay. My background is in music and audio, sound design, sound installation, multimedia design, and playing in bands. Everything from playing in bands to, you know, installing in museums.
You can't just drop that. Now you got to tell us what band you're in.
I was in a lot of bands in the 80s and 90s. I did a lot of years with Elliot Sharp's band called Carbon.
Okay.
We traveled around a lot, sort of an industrial noise band that sometimes was more a noise avant-garde band and sometimes was a dance band. Kind of fun. I played in John Zorn's various ensembles over the years.
Good.
And I had my own band called Impossible Music, which was, at different times, 3 to 6 people with portable CD players. This sort of predates laptops.
Right.
And we would run around with stacks of CDs and basically do sound collages using only sound effects or very small loops of music samples. But we would do it on the fly.
Nice. You
know, we'd just like pick an A-B point and just go, so something like, and then the second person would come in with a woo-hee, we just start building up these. Anyway, that's my... So I have this expertise in that, but everybody has to do everything. So I find myself interviewing, you know, I did an immigration lawyer interview a couple of weeks ago because there was no one in the studio to talk to him. I'm not an expert in immigration, but of course I'm interested in it. There I am. And it took me a little while to get comfortable with this. I came in to the project by virtue of having managed in the past some nonprofit organizations, and having this multimedia experience and a lot of audio experience and knowing people in the scene, and having had a relationship with PS1 for over 20 years as an artist, But and I had a little radio experience on WBAI in New York.
Okay.
20 years ago, I had a show for about 2 years where I played outrageously avant-garde experimental improv noise music at 9 a.m. on Tuesday mornings.
And for the commuters.
Yeah, and they endured me until finally they got a new program director who just was like, I was out of there in 2 seconds. I was never comfortable in that show, so when I came back to this, I wasn't entirely sure I was going to be good at it. But I'm one nice thing about this is that when they built the staff of WPS1, they got a lot of great radio people with a lot of experience,
right?
Who weren't necessarily art world people or internet people; they were radio people, and right. they put together sort of the way the station runs. So it's modeled on terrestrial radio,
right.
And they taught me. I learned from them, radio culture inside the studio, radio culture. And so now I jump in there and I do it too.
Love that.
I do a little bit of programming. I'm called the managing director, so I'm really sort of the Perry White of WPS1. But I get my fingers into the programming and I have my little control freak side.
Uh-huh. Have you done any interviews at Art Basel so far?
I've sat in on a couple.
Anything good?
There's definitely been some great ones. I'm trying to think what I did. I think most of mine have been sort of the round tables with people coming and going, gossiping about the parties, and I just sort of encourage them to tell the tale, most of which by the time anyone hears this will have long passed and be uninteresting to know about. The story of, or Peach's telling the story of the guy in a suit that, she didn't come on the station, but we talked about her story of the guy dressed in a business suit at a party, some fancy party here, took off all his clothes, butt naked, dove in the pool, did two very leisurely laps, came out, dressed himself perfectly again, and then was escorted under both arms out of the hotel quietly. It's just a no-no. So we've been hearing those kind of stories. And then, of course, people telling about walking around the convention center or right. NADA or, those things. Kenny Scharf did a performance here.
What kind of performance?
I can't remember which hotel it was. Well, Kenny Scharf did a poolside performance at one of the hotels where he does his caveman dance.
Okay.
And he came on. And he's a fabulous raconteur with a long history in the art world. And that was a wonderful sort of short 10-minute blast of art madness. we get a lot of characters. We have the whole range of, how should I say it?
Of programming?
The viewpoints that are coming on is very broad. So we've got the very sort of, I hate to say academic, but we've got some people that are, our academics are sort of alternative academics. They're sort of more open and experimental in their approach to education, especially the school of visual arts people. But they sit down and they say, well, let's discuss, the approach to culture as it's viewed through the lens of blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
And then everybody says, well, it's my experience. And so there's that kind of conversation. Right. And then you've got people who are, Douglas Kelly, who runs this website called The List. Or Douglas Kelly's List. Oh, God, I don't remember it now. But he runs a pretty well-viewed list of sort of public culture activities in New York City that some people log on every day, what's happening, they trust Douglas Kelly's opinion. And this guy came on and, he is the truth teller. Ooh. Telling truth to power. This is Kelly's mission.
Wow.
And so he and Tony Guerrero, who's a PS1, senior staff guy at PS1, a wonderful other person to have here with us, they went at it. It's dirty.
No holds barred.
No holds barred. So that we have both sides of the...
Hulk Hogan would be proud.
Exactly true.
Yeah. So as far as the actual fair itself, have you gotten a chance to go out and see anything, or have you been mostly at the radio station?
I've seen virtually nothing.
Yeah?
I've heard a lot of stories.
How do you feel about that?
This happens to me every time. I've done this in... We do the Armory show in New York. I went to the Venice Biennale... And I'm just tethered to the booth.
Do you guys have WPS1 at the Armory and the Venice Biennale?
We have had them, yeah. The Armory we've done a couple times. The Biennale we did last, the year before last one. It does odd years, so.
Right.
Yeah, both of those. I mean, I get, this is about the time, we're in day four now.
Right.
So probably today I'll be able to get out some, finally. Okay. You know, we've had everything from missing, you know, having to schedule people, missing guests, where are they staying, to right. technical problems, money problems, you know, this kind of, you know, working on the road like this is just takes a lot of effort. So it usually takes a couple of days before I feel comfortable walking away right. and going and looking at stuff.
Right. How much of an effect has being kind of outside, like on a high rise on the beach, but kind of open to the elements had on your broadcasting?
I mean, I like what it does.
Yeah.
It sometimes disturbs the guests because all of a sudden an air compressor will go off, or you know, a helicopter or something.
Right.
But this is the thing: you really are out there, and you know, you can hear that ambience when the mics go on. And,
right.
So I like that.
Another question I had for you was about actually broadcasting and whether or not that you guys, are you just an internet radio station? Do you broadcast with Signal? Or
Yeah, we're an internet station.
Have you ever broadcasted with
Signal? In Miami, we have a partnership with the local college station, which is a public radio station,
right.
to do 3 hours a day for 5 days.
Okay.
In the afternoon. And we also made a deal with a local station in Venice, which was an incredible adventure. Broadcasting.
Imagine.
And that one we got the deal to broadcast 7 days, 24 hours a day
wow.
in Venice. So that was a challenge.
On an FM station?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Metropolitan Venice. Good morning, Venice. And I think that's it. We've tried to make partnerships like this in other cities and in New York. But basically, for our special events, we see what we can do for a temporary FM hookup. But it's a web station.
Okay. What are your feelings on that, the broadcast versus the web station? Do you think things are tending more towards the web station, or is there still room for the FM band?
Big subject. You know, it looks to me like satellite radio, terrestrial radio, web radio, cell phones, wireless communications, handheld devices, micro-sized
devices. Implant chips in your
right,
mind.
Exactly. It's all merging towards one thing, so why... It's going to be transparent. When your cell phone gives you high-resolution audio and it doesn't cost you $500 a month or even $100 a month, and then you can pick up WPS1 as easily as CBS and XM and your station and
right.
something from Shanghai and Iceland... Who cares if it's coming from a satellite or from a, you know, low-power FM signal? It becomes, the consumer isn't going to care at all.
Right.
So that's going to level the playing field. I don't know what that means. I wonder if somehow this will be obstructed by big business in some way. But then there's lots of signs that there's danger.
Danger
coming.
Looming.
Yeah. But, it's not that long from now. In which case, a place like us, where we're slowly accruing this massive amount of art content, because we're quietly doing our job.
Right.
And so, when it becomes possible for it to be completely democratic and people can get us without struggling with the technology, which player?
Does
it work on a Mac? And not stupid people. I mean, my friends who are quite literate, art people, graphic designers, who just, streaming. I can't. So it's a battle.
Right.
And that's a little distressing because you're up against a lot of things. And our listeners, when I look again at the statistics, people listen to us in the office during the week when they're sitting
at their
desks. Yeah, on the clock. It's absolutely true. I mean, you just see there's a hump that starts Monday, Tuesday, 1 to 4 in the afternoon, Eastern time, seems to be the high point. I guess they don't do it right with their morning coffee. I mean, we're not a morning coffee station. I don't know. There's some things on our station.
That's a good quote. I like that one.
But yeah. But then it starts to tail off through the week. But then we repeat our schedule over the week, so that sort of makes sense. And then on the weekend, we drop down.
Right.
except in the summer when we have these dance parties at PS1 where we broadcast the live, we broadcast like 6 hours of live DJ mixing.
So you guys are actually located in PS1 in New
York?
We're
not.
No. Where are you in New York for the passerby listener?
PS1 was born in a top floor, actually an actual clock tower of an office building in downtown Manhattan.
In a belfry.
It's like a, it has eagle gargoyles all around the building. It's very dramatic.
Close enough.
And it's a McKim, Mead & White building, which means it was built sort of as a Stanford White playground in lower Manhattan. Don't think you ever used it, and we didn't find a velvet swing up there, but it is. This is what it is. It was like the New York Life Insurance Company or something originally, I can't tell, but now it's owned by the city of New York. And Alana Heiss, who founded PS1, got this building in the early 70s. I think when she was hunting for odd and wonderful unused spaces with Gordon Matta Clark, where they had a little collaboration of searching the urban landscape for places to put art back then. That's kind of, I think, a wonderful story in itself. So she got this space, and it is, I don't know how many thousands of square feet. It's two stories. The upper story is literally under the clock tower, which was renovated and restored several years ago. So we have an actual bell that rings on the hour, and this massive clockworks working over our head. And a little guy that comes every week and winds the clock for the city of New York is the clock master of the city of New York.
Are you on friendly terms with the clock master?
I stay friendly with the clock master.
Good.
It's quite fabulous tales to tell. You know. So anyway, that space was a wonderful gallery. It has an outside rooftop and vistas of all over lower Manhattan. But after 9/11, because it was a city building, the city of New York determined that art activity on the 13th floor was a security risk, and they shut it down.
Ah.
Because they had a regular free flow of the public to the 13th floor to view art, which was, they were rotating exhibitions up there. There was a staff. There were residency programs. They had so much space. They gave people small studios.
Right.
You would apply and pay a small stipend, a small rent. But so they threw them out. So then they said, in the meantime, parallel to all this, PS1 was founded in Queens in the old school building. And even PS1 had become a part of MoMA, some sort of affiliation deal that hammered out by Alana Heiss and Glenn Lowry at MoMA around 2000. But the clock tower was now out of business, so they decided, let's retrofit it as recording studios and start our radio station, which she's always been supportive. This is Alana I'm talking about, supportive of sound work.
Right.
From very beginning. In fact, that's why I know her for 20 years, because she showed my sound work in PS1 years ago when no one was showing sound work. You know, she always has. She loves music. She loves, you know, multimedia stuff. And she's smart. She supported it all this time. So they retrofitted these rooms, built studios, raised money, the motherload of money to build and renovate these rooms came from Bloomberg, the company, the media company.
The big boys.
They were fantastic. And they built and supported this crazy station from the beginning. They're sort of now no longer involved. That's only because that was the deal. They said, we will help you birth this internet art station, but don't expect us to just run, you know, give you free money forever. So, so bless their hearts, they did what they promised. And so, the clock tower, that we call the building the clock tower, was reborn as the studios, the clock tower studios now, of WPS1.org, and is a few subways exchanges from PS1 Museum itself, which is in Queens.
Right.
So they have the two spaces.
Beautiful. As far as yourself and where you personally see the radio station going, what are your plans for the future? Sorry, that's a big one.
That's a big one. We have a lot of challenges. Both PS1 and the Museum of Modern Art, who are our mother and grandmother, or big sister and bigger sister,
mommy and daddy.
Yeah, they're the mothership.
If they were mommy and daddy, who would be mommy? Who would be daddy?
Yeah, I get that. I'll just get in trouble.
We'll skip that one.
In trouble. But they both have aspirations to have media on their own websites, because WPS1 is a separate site from PS1 and right. MoMA. So, in a way, we're sort of on our own, even though it looks like we're hooked up with this big MoMA, you know, this massive MoMA juggernaut.
Right.
And people think, oh, you must be infused with money. But in fact, they sort of allow us to exist. And they're very supportive of the programming, and they even supply us with programming. But MoMA does not see WPS1 as their responsibility to keep alive. Like, WPS1 has to sort of prove and raise its own way.
Right.
PS1 is also not cash rich, even though people probably think, oh, then now there's an affiliation with MoMA, it's endless right. money. So there's a little, and then of course there's competition between who wants to put the media on their sites, right. and where you, when you go out to raise money, if you ask for money from somebody to develop a website, maybe MoMA's also at, you know, it's like I compete right. with my own institutions.
Right.
So that makes it a little difficult sometimes. So I have a little bit of a battle in finding support.
Right.
So basically now we're a listener-supported station, and I'm out there raising money, writing grants like everybody else who's got a little nonprofit.
Okay.
I have some help from these institutions. You know, my staff isn't large, but I have access to some really good people, and I can get some of their time
right.
to help with this kind of thing. So aside from the money problems, you know, we don't have a regular live. We don't have regular live programming on WPS1.
Okay.
It's all this automated schedule, and especially the radio people on my staff, Jeannie Hopper, the station manager, and some of the other radio people that have helped really, really lobby us to, like, let's get some live to the stream stuff going on, because they feel right. like the feel and the experience, not just in the radio station but also to the listener, is unique and special when you know that this person is sitting somewhere talking to you now.
Right.
And it's live
and
radio.
If they cuss, then it comes on.
That's, well,
you know, everyone's waiting
yeah.
for a slip.
That's then. There's a whole nother,
yeah.
you know, like,
can
I say this word on the, well, actually, if you want to.
And NPR's policy, official policy on that. If you have to ask, then no.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to ask. That's good. So,
yeah. Anyway,
so going live
right.
would be wonderful. And, you know, we now do basically 10 fresh hours of programming a week, which is shuffled in with recycled shows or historic stuff. You know, we have the wonderful opportunity to grab historic audio from the MoMA archive, which goes back to like the 30s.
Right.
And so we mix all that stuff up together. But so that's 10 hours a week. There's 24 hours in a day. I mean, a regular radio station, your station, probably just has to have somebody managing 24 hours of content every day.
No.
And you don't repeat.
Right.
So we have a lot of room to grow.
Right.
So this would be wonderful. It would certainly make the radio people happy, and we would generate that much more content. I would love to see that happen.
So do you feel that's mostly a question of money now? Or?
It's a question of money, because it's, you know,
we
don't have the staff.
Let me give my checkbook.
Yeah. We just don't have, you know, everybody's doing 5 jobs there.
Right.
I mean, it's a wonderful spirit, this place, but yeah, there's no way to manage that much content.
As far as like art fairs and things like that, and going remote, are you looking to expand so that you're more of an art fair station as well, or kind of Biennale?
There's been some talk that it should be sort of our mission to go cover all the Biennales. Not the art fairs, but the Biennales.
The Biennales.
There's a lot of
a remote
back and
unit.
Forth. Yeah, the remote team. Send them out.
Does Iceland have a Biennale? We're in
there
America.
Are some nice ones.
Biennial.
Yeah, right. The biennials, you know, there's some nice ones. There's a, you know, they've proliferated, so
right.
You could probably pick your place. Right. Just wait for the Tucson,
Tampa Bay yeah. biennial.
Yeah.
Did you say Tucson?
Tucson, yeah.
yeah.
I think it was the Hawaiian biennial. There was a joke in there somewhere. The Hawaii biennial, the Maui biennial.
It was there.
There's so many consonants and vowels mixed together that the biennial and the biennale.
The Buffalo
Biennale. The Maui
biennale
sounds kind of good. No, I don't know. I think that's what it was. That's stupid. But there's a lot of back and forth and varying opinions on the art fairs.
Right.
We have done this one in Art Basel and the Armory Show in New York. Armory Show, it's right there, you know.
Right.
We move across town and broadcast from the West Side Piers where they do this thing.
Right.
And that's fun. But it's so easy to argue that one because it's in our hometown. And Basel has just been such a great relationship with these people, have been so lovely to us and given us this wonderful chance to have a very centrally located and access to all of the art. That's hard to turn down, too. I don't think, you know, we'd ever go beyond these two. Biennials, I could see us doing more. And in addition to that, my interest and some of the senior people at PS1's interest is to make partnerships with other institutions to get their audio content on the web. So everything from little galleries, no matter what city they're in, if they have a interesting artist talk or a panel discussion, in some of these galleries, you know, 30 people show up, they have a fabulous conversation, totally relevant. Thousands of people may have a vested interest in this subject, and
right.
tens of thousands may actually be interested in it. But
Nobody hears. And
there you are in Lower Manhattan, one of the art centers of the world, having this really interesting conversation with tip-top people, then 30 people, and it's over. So I go to them and say, you know, let's record it. It's almost no money expense to just post this thing on the net. Let's make a little partnership. And
right.
So this kind of thing, as far as, you know, enhancing our content, I would love to triple, quadruple. It's not expensive.
Right.
There's a lot of value, in historic value and practical value in getting that stuff up there.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's easy for people to just hand me a recording and not have to go to the trouble of...
Or just email it to you.
Yeah, they can... Right, exactly. That's what I mean. Just to transfer these audio files around the world is no problem. And then, yeah.
That one's a screamer.
You know, they don't have to deal with how do I get my web station ready
right.
to stream media. And, you know.
So for the listening audience then, if they had something that they thought was of particular interest to you, let's say, you know, in, I don't know, Los Angeles or, you know, Chicago or something mm-hmm. like that, would you be open to taking their submissions as well? I mean, for the people listening
at home? I
would be
open to a dialogue and find out what it is in advance.
Okay. Yeah, so you heard that, radio people.
Yeah, I mean, we... You know, I read the mail, which is our mail, our internet web address. Our internet web address. Our internet email address is wps1@ps1.org.
Right.
People can write me there. I'm glad to talk to them.
And it works. I wrote him there and he answered.
That's right. Yeah, sure, of course. You have to pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'm more interested in people who have sort of a passion and obsession for stuff. And we aren't looking in this very limited lens to the high art world, even
right.
though here we are at Art Basel, where
right.
tens of millions of dollars are changing.
The lovely days
probably
end.
During this one cup of coffee. Yeah. And we're at the one lovely days in. No comment. hot water, people. Hot water.
On a completely separate note,
yeah.
How much money do you think it changes hands, like on a loose figure, at Art Basel?
I don't know.
Would you say it's in the billion range?
No, I don't think so. I think it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But whether it's 200 million or 800 million, I don't know. At the Armory Show last year, they told me a number, and now I've forgotten it. I think it was $45 million in 3 days.
Ridiculous.
But I'm... don't listen to me, people. I don't care, and so I don't remember these numbers. But the numbers are large.
Right. And that's why people are here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd be in
yeah.
someplace else.
It's been sort of graduate school for me, because I'm... You know, I dabbled in the art world, and I enjoyed it very much because I was not vested in it. I didn't want to be a collectible artist, and I didn't care about the competition in the gallery scene or getting my stuff into a museum. So when I had some success in the art world, I did some visual pieces that just somehow people loved them, and it got me a lot of attention at one point in my career. But I think it was because I was much more interested in the sound side of my work, and this sort of came along. It was easy for me. Where was I going with that one?
I don't know. That was a good one, though.
That was a good one.
There it went. It's all right.
No. Let's see. We were talking about a lot of things. Oh, I know, the Basel. I was going to tell you about the money and the various fairs. Right. I don't know why I told you that story, but anyway, the three fairs that I've had a lot of experience at now, the Venice Biennale,
Armory,
Art Basel, Miami Beach, and the Armory Show, New York. What I've been told is, and now I'm learning this in person and seeing, is the Armory Show is very much about the galleries,
right?
And the Venice Show is very much about the artists.
Okay.
That is, those are the people that sort of control the agenda.
Right.
We hope at least the Venice one is, the agenda is controlled by the artists. Somebody, we hope, lets the artists
control
the
there?
Agenda somewhere.
Help us.
But in Miami, it's the money. So right. It's galleries in New York, artists in Venice, money in Miami. And it, so I think if you're talking about how much money changes hands, this one's got a trumpet. It's right. Absolutely extraordinary. Scary sometimes.
Yeah, that definitely. And I think it might have been a Jeffrey Deitch quote or something like that, that art is beautiful, but the art business is money. Something along those lines, I think. And but as far as scheduling for today, what do you guys got on the plane?
Let's see if I remember. I should have brought my schedule. I think.
Don't mean to put you on the spot.
It's okay. What is on today? I know the immigration lawyer is coming on today, and I know that this young woman from the Free Frisbee group is going to come sing us a song.
Nice.
That's how we start the day.
A song?
And so I just think, yeah, we're going to start the day with a song. I don't know what she's going to do. But I love the Frisbee people, and the Frisbee project this year is, they're just basically, I don't think they commissioned people, but they invited some 20, 30, 40 artists to make posters.
Okay.
And then they're postering Miami, but they're also leaving the posters available in piles, available to the public to just take. They're just distributing them out. And some of them are by sort of famous people. So
I've
keep your eyes open.
I've seen some Skull Phone and some Shepherd Fairey around.
Yeah, I did.
So I don't know if they got them, or if they just showed up on their own as they were wanting to do.
This is their project of the year. Last year they had a crazy show that was embedded in a little deco hotel on Ocean Drive. Right. Where they took over one floor, and every artist had a room in the hotel, and they did their stuff. And then, just to make it even more complicated, every night they shuffled which artist had which room, so you couldn't even depend on where you were hanging your stuff or whatever you're doing, your decor.
Right.
And I remember one of the rooms was a woman who had a costume rack and I guess a cameraman. And the room was done up sort of like a bordello.
Right.
And she wanted you to dress up, and she would dress up as you asked her to dress up, and then the two of you would snuggle on the bed together, and they would take a picture. And she was not shy, shall I say.
Right. She was a professional of sorts.
Well, she was definitely a professional. But I think she was also the artist, so she was that kind of a
professional. Professional artist is what I meant. Yeah, right, right.
She's a very respectable woman, but also very willing to take a command.
Right. Well, thank you so much, David.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
My name is Zephyr, and you've been listening to Frank Prattle on Neighborhood Public Radio, 88.9 FM in San Francisco. We're located today live at Art Basel, recorded live at Art Basel, in the Lovely Days Inn in the cafeteria, I believe, or what, dining room? We'll call it a dining room.
It's the dining room.
And my lovely guest has been David Weinstein of WPS1.
Still lovely after all these days.
Yes. And you can listen to WPS1 at WPS1.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you.